Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Abby.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. You know, as good as one can be right now.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we took last week off because obviously the world is really crazy right now. But we definitely still have some good stuff to talk about. So we decided to hop on and yeah, do that now, I guess, despite all the craziness.
Yeah, I think last week was kind of a slow-ish week in general. One of the things that we did want to talk about was the pop queen Dua Lipa. She legally released her album.
Yeah, her sophomore album. It's called Future Nostalgia, and she released it on Friday, March 27th. I believe, right? And it was originally supposed to be released on April 3rd, which is this coming Friday when we're recording this. Oh no, wait, what am I saying? It would have been last week, April 3rd.
Yeah, it would have been last Friday.
I was thinking, okay, please don't think I'm crazy. I was thinking of Gaga was supposed to be this Friday. That's what I had in my brain today.
Oh.
Gaga was supposed to be this Friday, the 10th, but she moved to be later, and Dua was supposed to be the 3rd, but she moved it earlier.
Right.
Okay. I'm not stupid, I swear. So yeah, she, like we talked about last week, she decided to move up the release because it was leaked, I guess, which really sucks. But either way, it's amazing. No matter when it was released, it's a great album. We've both been enjoying it greatly. I don't know about you, but it's getting me through my quarantine and bringing a little bit of joy to these dark times. Yeah,
it's been really great. I actually have been running, and I have been running to this album, and it's really, really good. I really can't wait till I can start spinning again, and then I can do like a Dua class and use this, because all these songs are so upbeat and have like a good BPM, if you will. So I did notice that Friday that just happened, so today is Monday, Friday that just happened, they released the Future Nostalgia Experience on Spotify. So throughout, when you're listening, it'll go some videos of behind the track. So it opens with like a video and then it plays the first track, which is Future Nostalgia. And then it goes to a behind the track, Don't Start Now. And it's her talking about her writing process and the beats and how they came up with everything behind the song, which I think is really cool. And then it has like the music videos for Don't Start Now and Physical in the actual like experience that they usually do on Spotify. So that was an update from when the album originally came out, and I was listening to it on a run and I was confused when there was no music and it was singing, it was speaking.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Yes. I didn't know until now that they released that, but I'm looking at it now and it's really cool. This is something that I feel like a lot more artists are going to start doing because, you know, Spotify wants to work with artists. Artists want to work with Spotify. This is something cool. It's visual. It's providing more to the fan other than just, well, like, here's tracks and now you won't hear from me again for 2 years. Like, I think it's a really great way to kind of keep the album alive, keep people interested after they've heard it once. And there's all this other stuff out there, you know, begging for your attention. This is a really great way to keep people engaged. Like, I feel like I want to listen to this through next time instead of just the album. I want to listen to the experience because I, spoiler alert, will not be running. But I think this behind the scenes stuff is really cool. And I hear you. I can totally imagine this being a great, like, workout album. I'm sure you're not the only one. I mean, Physical alone. Come on, Physical. It's Physical. So
yeah.
That's just begging to be a workout album. And if the world was normal, yeah, I could totally see you doing a spin class to that. But yeah, other than that, it's very like 70s disco influenced is how I would characterize it, as, you know, it's like a throwback sound, but that era specifically. the most, like, the best example of that, well, Don't Start Now is a really good example of that, the single that came out in December, and that slaps, or was it December or earlier? It was sometime in the fall. But yeah, also, like,
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, either way, it's very disco influenced. And oh yeah, there's a slight plug, Non-Spawn. There's a really great podcast about that song, podcast episode, not a full show. Vox's Switched on Pop. They did a really great episode about Don't Start, like, genuinely breaking down each part of it that's disco influenced, and everything that was popular in the disco era, she incorporates into this, like, one song, which is really cool. But also, yeah, Physical, Break My Heart, Love Again, to me, I mean, honestly, all of them, to me, those all are very, very disco influenced, which is really cool to see. I think it's something people have been wanting in the pop world. Like, I remember Carly Rae Jepsen was kind of hinting at going in that direction, but I never really felt like she committed to it. She always was just kind of one foot in, one foot out. Like, I could hear some of the influence, but she fully goes for it here. She is like, yeah, I mean, and the album title is just so perfect because it totally encompasses the way that it's a throwback kind of album with the nostalgia, but also looking to the future of what pop music might be. I really think it's a masterpiece all around. A very strong pop album, and something that I think will dictate a lot of, like, where pop goes in the future. So,
She said in a bunch of interviews that it is a disco-inspired album and that it's a dance album, which I think is really interesting. Not a lot of people are doing that right now, and it's very evident in Physical that it's very Madonna-esque, which I really liked. If you've seen the music video, it's playing on that. I will say, when I listened to this, I'm actually looking this up right now, I said to Nicole that Break My Heart sounds like it would be a Meghan Trainor song.
Oh, yeah,
that it'd be written for Meghan Trainor. And so I'm currently looking at the credits and trying to figure out who, if they have any of the same producers that are similar.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I
if you
like-
listen to the track, yeah, it has syncopation that Meghan Trainor uses a lot.
Okay.
And that's what I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they have the same production. Doesn't look like it.
It definitely could be just a, you know, it's a popular style right now.
Yeah.
I pretty much understand what you mean with the, like, Meghan Trainor comparison. Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at one of the songwriters, and he wrote Havana and wrote Senorita, but it doesn't look like anything is Meghan Trainor on here. But he has written a lot of pop.
Right.
Andrew Watt is the songwriter.
Yeah. You could probably, like, link it, you know what I mean? Like, you could probably get this to, oh, he worked on this, who also collaborated with this person, and that person collaborated with Meghan. You know what I mean? Like, you could probably get there.
But I just thought it was interesting that it reminded me of something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, Good in Bed is really interesting.
Yeah.
One of the artists that I know from Sony, her name is Taylor Upsall. She goes by Upsall. She is a writer on the song.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Which is super cool.
Yeah. I feel like I liked the song more after you sent me that video of her her Instagram post talking about the fact that she wrote it. It made me listen harder. Like, it made me, like, think about it from somebody else's perspective or something, you know what I mean? And it made me like the song more. So
It definitely sounds like a song that she would write, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's really, really cool. Yeah, I would say this one probably, like, is the most current-ish sound. It's a little bit more, like, Spotify core or something, you know what I mean? Rather than disco-oriented, but it fits right in, you know? And it's very refreshing to get that bit of, like, that sound that Upsol kind of is a part of and has helped popularize. I think it was
really
cool.
I'm trying to think how you could categorize it. It's not anti-pop, but it kind of is on the edge of it.
Yeah. It's very catchy. There's a ton of repetition, like a ton of hooks. So
yeah.
Something. It's like it gets stuck in my head really easily, even though I like other songs more than this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I will say that all of the songwriters that are on this album have really good, like, credits and are, like, people that I've recognized.
Right.
So I think that there's something to say about that, that Dua is a writer on all of these, but Cool is co-written with Tove Lo.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I saw that, too.
Yeah.
About it. And, again, that made me love the song more because I love Tove Lo. And right when I listened to it, I could also tell, oh yeah, I could totally picture Tove Lo singing this. It totally makes sense that she wrote it. You know, I'm looking on Genius, she's credited with background vocals. It totally makes sense. I would consider Tove Lo as another one of those artists who's kind of been dipping a toe into disco, even though hasn't really, again, like, fully committed to it the way Dua has, but definitely within the same realm of pop. So that's really exciting for me. I would love to see them collaborate more in the future.
Yeah. And I'm also looking at Hallucinate has SG Lewis, who's a producer DJ that makes some really good remixes that I use a lot. So that one makes a lot of sense to me because Hallucinate is an earworm to me.
Hallucinate might be my favorite on the album. I'm still trying to decide what my favorite on the album is, but that one's up there for sure.
Hallucinate and Levitating are my two favorites.
Me too. Oh my god, get out of here, Taste. Those two, but then also Break My Heart and Love Again and Don't Start Now. They're all my favorites. It's a top five.
They're all really good.
They're all my favorites.
I will say
Flaps and Boys Will Be Boys ended sexism forever. No, I'm just kidding. But it's really good. It's just such a solid album.
It really is. And I will say, like, you know, it's taken her a while to come out with a second album.
Yeah.
So I think that this one definitely lived up to the expectation that the, 3 years between her first one and now?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Has it technically been 3 years? Oh, 2018. So, but it was like the end. I think it was like the beginning of.
What happened was 2017, her debut self-titled was released, and then she did like a one of those complete collection kind of things.
Yeah.
With not even new songs, just like tacked on the collaboration she did with like Calvin Harris and
Black. It could have been an EP.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But before that, this is funny because I actually gave my family a crash course in Dua Lipa. But all this, we're very bored. So like before her debut album, it kept getting delayed and like pushed by the label because she never really had a single that stuck and that was a hit. She didn't have a hit. While, and she wouldn't have a hit until after she released the album and they pushed New Rules. So I think that's just interesting lesson in music is that like a lot of the times people's labels will delay the album a lot until they have a hit. That's what happens with Charlie XCX a lot too, she's talked about. So Dua's kind of like proof that that's not necessarily true because she kept like plugging along and look at her now. So but yeah, the singles she released before her debut were really good. Like that's what first got me.
Hotter Than Hell is definitely a hit, though.
I mean, it depends how you define a hit, right?
I feel like it did well, like, radio-wise, didn't it? Maybe not.
Honestly, I don't know, because, like, when it would have been, I, like, never listen to the radio. I still don't really, it's fair. But I see your point. Like, it definitely, it was, like, known, and she was, like, coming up. I think that's maybe part of the reason why she could have, you know, made the case that, oh, I should be able to release my album now. But, you know, just think about it compared to New Rules, you know, like, New Rules.
Yeah, know, New Rules really did it.
That's a radio hit. That shit was the kind of stuff people were saying, oh my God, shut this off. This is so overplayed. Like, that was,
right. That's what
it was. And it was like her first top 10, and that to a lot of people was when, that to me was when Dua Lipa went from being like a smaller, lesser known artist I only know because Charlie XCX put her on a playlist, to like, oh, she's like a pop star.
See, I really liked Hotter Than Hell and
I love Be The One.
Blow Your Mind.
Blow Your Mind, Be The One, Hotter Than Hell. Those were like in my heavy rotation in 2016 and like 17.
Right. But
for whatever reason, when she released the debut album, I felt like nothing new on there really grabbed me as much.
Yeah.
As those original singles, so I kind of fell out of my Dua Lipa stand-in for a second, and then right when she released Don't Start Now, I was right back up there. I was like ready to go, ready to stand. So I feel like she really has evolved from like just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks and see what's a hit, to like, this is my sound, this is my vision, this is what I want, I'm gonna just go with it and see what happens, and everybody loves that. So I'm, like, really excited to see, you know, what she does next. And I'm excited to have this record on repeat for a while.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Dua timeline.
Yeah.
And I think I Don't Give a Fuck was also
one
of the songs that was added to the album in the deluxe version.
Oh, that was on the
original. Was it on the original?
I feel like it was, because I remember I didn't really listen to the deluxe when it came out because I was, like, already over her by then. But I definitely knew that song. Yeah, it's on the
original. Oh, it's on the original. Well, that one got really big, too.
That one, too. Yeah, those were, like, her two big hits from her debut album.
Yeah.
For, like, New Rules and I Don't Give a Fuck. And then there
were. I do like all of the features, though.
Yeah.
From that album on the deluxe version. Electricity was...
Right, right. Of course. She won a Grammy for that. Like,
right.
That was legit, yeah. collaboration with Blackpink, I think, is really cool. But
that was the first I had heard of Blackpink.
Really? That's so funny.
Yeah.
I didn't really like One Kiss. I felt like it was just, like, very generic and cookie cutter and overplayed, and then I kind of felt the same way. Yeah, exactly. And I kind of felt the same
way. Calvin Harris.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Electricity was good. Kiss and Makeup was good. Everything else was like meh. So I wasn't as into her. And then did she come back? Oh my God, this is a sophomore album. Like, this is, it's a sophomore album. So good. Yeah. Let's think. Can we talk about Boys Will Be Boys?
Yeah.
Maybe.
How she, like, breaks the fourth wall in it.
Exactly. I love
in
that.
In the bridge.
And, like, low-key in the second verse, too. So,
yeah.
Well, I was thinking of you when I was listening to it because, well, last time we recorded, I was talking about how I never listened to, like, lyrics my first time around.
Oh,
it was the same situation, of course, with Dua, and that I was just like, how can I pay attention to the lyrics when the production is so freaking good? But for when Boys Will Be Boys came on, it's the last track, the second time I think through that I listened to it, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna crack down right now, I'm gonna stop what I'm doing, I'm gonna listen to the lyrics, and I was really blown away.
I'm gonna pivot a little bit. I was thinking about this earlier, and I really wish that I had the chance to see her live this year, which isn't happening.
I forget, did she announce a tour before, like, the world?
She didn't.
She did it. It was probably, like, coming up, and then obviously everything happened. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was thinking that too. I would have loved to see her.
Yeah.
Hopefully she still does tour, you know, even if it's a while after the album was released. Like, hopefully when the world goes back to normal, she can tour, because it seems like she would put on a really great show. I mean, like you said, she said it's a dance record, so I mean that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dream.
In my head, Zara Larsson would be a great opener.
Yo, that totally makes sense. Yeah, she's definitely, that's funny, because, like, I associated them together also when Zara Larsson had a bunch of those similar kind of songs where like, she was the vocalist on an EDM song or something.
That
was,
yeah.
Duo was putting out those singles, so, but then Duo kind of, like, blew up a little bit more. So that is, like, a really, really perfect match. Yeah.
But has that be a good...
anything, like, recently?
Recently? I don't think so. She put out a single last year.
Heard from her. I'm hearing from her to have a similar kind of thing, where she comes back with, like, a very focused image and is like, this is who I am.
She put out a single March 27th.
Oh, look at that.
But she hasn't put out an album since 2017, so maybe featuring Kygo and Tyga.
It's from Kygo's album, which is
coming,
like a little waterfall single release. You know what his album is freaking called? It's called Golden Hour. What? Casey owns that term. Anyways.
Oh.
I actually like Kygo, so I'll try to get over that, but maybe, hopefully, like, Zara's putting out another album soon, and then she can tour it with Dua once the world is back to normal.
Yeah, maybe. And speaking of tours and things that can't happen, there's going to be a, like, Global Citizens Fest-esque live stream of artists that they announced today as we're recording this on April 18th. And we were talking about this. It's curated by Lady Gaga, which I think is really interesting. Yeah. It supports, like, the World Health Organization. And it's hosted by Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert, which I was blown away by. And then the artists that are there are from across the board. With appearances by. So Alanis Morissette, Andrea Bocelli, Billie Eilish, Billy Joe Armstrong.
That first line alone, like, very different.
It feels like there was a whole scrolling of just, like, an alphabet of all of these famous people, and they just, like, threw a dart at each name and went, okay. But the second line is even better.
And any better. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
The second line, I don't know who Burna Boy is.
Burna Boy is a wonderful rapper from, I believe, Nigeria, who is really great, and I love his music a lot. And
okay, so that's fine.
Grammys, so he got a little bit of, like, publicity here in the States.
Oh, gotcha. Chris Martin.
Of Coldplay, right?
Of Coldplay. David Beckham.
What is he gonna
do? Like, what is he gonna do? Kick a soccer ball? Eddie Vedder.
Of Pearl Jam, who also just released an album on March
27th. Yeah. Elton John.
King. But still weird.
And Phineas, separate from Billy.
Because you know those two don't go anywhere without each other. We still got three left.
Okay. I guess because Phineas has a solo career, it makes sense. I don't know.
No, it doesn't.
Idris and Sabrina Elba, who have recently recovered from Miss Rona. J Balvin. John Legend. Casey Musgraves. Okay. Keith Urban, our country singer from Down Under. Kerry Washington. What's she gonna do?
Ew.
Like, advise us on how the country should be running? Like, I don't know.
Help us, Kerry.
Yeah. Lang Lang?
Don't know.
Don't know. Okay. My girl Lizzo.
Yeah.
Maluma. So we got a DJ in the house. Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Priyanka Chopra Jonas is the one that really gets me.
I say again, what is she gonna do?
I don't know. Just present.
Bring out Nick? Like, what? What's she gonna do?
Yeah. Shah Rukh Khan.
Don't know who that is.
Don't know who that is. And Stevie Wonder. America's Sweetheart. America's.
So, yeah. What's your favorite trio on here? I think I like Andrea Bocelli with J Balvin and Keith Urban.
Pick your fighter.
Choose your fighter.
I like Elton John with Paul McCartney and Eddie Vedder.
That's too normal. I like Stevie Wonder with Alanis Morissette and Maluma.
No, I like Idris Elba with Chris Martin and Paul McCartney. I feel like they'd have a confusing conversation.
I love this. But genuinely, three of my favorite artists are on here are Billy Casey and Lizzo. I also love Phineas.
Yeah.
I like Elton John. I like Burna Boy. I like Stevie Wonder. So, I'm actually excited, but it's still a weird lineup. I like John Legend kind of too. It's a weird lineup.
But, what is the curated in collaboration with Lady Gaga? Like, is she hosting it? Oh. No. Is she, she just called people and said, hey, can you do a thing for me?
She's curating it. What more do you need to know? No, I'm just kidding. Oh. But, I don't know. It's something to do on a Saturday. So, that's cool. But yeah, it's for a good cause too. So that's good. But yeah, it sucks because, like I said earlier, Lady Gaga was supposed to release her album this coming Friday when we're recording this, which would be April 10th. And the album, Chromatica, it was delayed because of the mess that the world is in right now. So I can imagine that if it was normal, she would be just promoting that whole week and had a lot of cool stuff in store. So this is kind of where she's going to channel it all into. You know what I mean? And then hopefully maybe she'll sing another song from the album to kind of hold people over if she doesn't release before then even.
Yeah.
I'm sure the fans are upset. No, I know the fans are upset. They were supposed to be getting a new album in a few days and now they don't know when they're going to get it. And I know if that were, my favorite artist, I'd be really bummed. So I'm sure special stuff in store for them.
And I'd be bummed too if I was looking forward to those five dates that she had as a tour.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird time because you're seeing everyone try and figure out what to do, and a lot of artists are taking to live streams. And honestly, I am just not. I don't want to watch your Instagram live. I really don't.
Yeah, the only ones I've been watching are Justin's, and even his, he's been going live a ton, and I actually...
He has!
I actually can't keep up. I actually have to shut it off because I'm, I don't know, doing anything, even something you love, for way too long, it's
Yeah.
I gotta switch it up. I gotta play Mahjong. I gotta do something else. Okay. So... Yeah, and something else that I heard on a podcast also that they were talking about, just deeper implications with Corona and stuff. So when you go go to a concert. There might be like a billion other concerts going on that same night, especially if it's a Friday or Saturday night, but not necessarily like in your city, or maybe there are a ton going on in your city. But once you buy that ticket, you are like committing to like, I will be in this location at this time. It's been in my calendar for 6 months. Like it's happening. Right. And I'm But when there's a million live streams going on, it's all the same to you because you're just on your butt in your bed or on your couch or wherever. Like you just have to, you just lift a finger and you can hop from like Alanis Morissette's live to Burna Boy's live. And like, it's all
right.
And it doesn't make a difference and you're less invested. It's not like tonight is the night that I see Lady Gaga. It's not like that. It's like tonight's the night I maybe see Lady Gaga or whoever else just decides to go live, or maybe I'll do neither of them and like take a nap or watch Netflix. Like it's like, I don't know, it's less special, way less special obviously because you're not even seeing them live at all, but
I
place the experience of going and getting merch and being on the rail and like waiting and seeing the opener and waiting, like it's not the same, obviously.
All I can hope is that when this is all over, that concert tickets are gonna, I assume everyone's gonna be going crazy and trying to go out and go do things. And I think that entertainment is gonna bounce back quicker than the rest of the world, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that we took the hardest hit, but I do think that we'll bounce back a little bit quicker because anytime anyone is going to be able to get outside and do stuff, they're going to be going to shows, they're going to be going to bars, they're going to be going out and doing things that support us directly. So however much I am feeling kind of like stuck and hopeless, I also have to keep in the back of my head, like the first thing that I'm going to do when any of my favorites announce a tour is I'm buying tickets regardless of how much they cost because I've been deprived of it.
Exactly. Yeah. People are just, they're so pent up. And I think it's making me think a lot about how, you know, life is so short and like, it's already so short and we're losing all these months, not being able to do all these fun things we love and see these people we love. So I think a lot of people, me included, are going to have that mindset of like, you only live once, to quote Drake, and you know, you can't take your money with you when you die and you could get hit by a bus tomorrow, and like, just live your life, spend that money, buy that t-shirt, buy that extra drink, support that venue and whatever. And I think a lot more people are just going to, you know, be like, no holds barred, just like, just go for it, which I think is really. Well, I know that's how I feel, like, in a lot of ways, even with, like, hanging out with friends. You know, me, I'm always like, oh, no, I kind of want to stay in and, like, wear my sweatpants. But now it's like, no, like, life is way too short to be doing that. We're losing all this time. I don't want to lose any more. That's kind of how I see it. And I think, yeah, what you said is a really positive way of looking at it, that, you know, people will bounce back. They'll be like, I'm not going back. So, like, depriving myself of the things I love. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to buy that t-shirt. I'm just going to buy that concert ticket. Maybe I'll buy that front row ticket. Like, so that's a really good point. We've certainly taken a difficult hit, but hopefully it all goes back to normal very soon. Just trying to be positive and take it one day at a time.
Hell yeah.
But yeah.
That was my big point. That was my little rant for the moment being.
Yeah, I think that's like pretty much what we had for this week. Do you have anything else, Abby?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah. All right. In that case, we will keep listening to Future Nostalgia on repeat and talk to you next week.
Yep. All right.
What the what's next? Go and cash your bad checks. You got a white bag in your pocket. You bought a big hat, but you lost it. Cash in, cash out while you still can. So you waste time on your big dream, then you get scammed by a TV. Drop in, drop out, it's a good plan. Soft call, summer tan, racking up debt. Now I can't. gonna do next? Go and cash a bad check. We're down and out, baby. Gonna do next? Go and cash a bad check. We're down and out, baby. I don't care. I wanna feel like a millionaire. So let's get to it. Ain't nothing wrong. What's next? Go and cash a bad check. What's next? Go and cash a bad check.
Credit card and use it. If you don't, no problem. Just have your checking account number ready when you call.
Down and out, baby, I don't care. I wanna feel like a millionaire. Down and out, baby, I don't care. What's next? Go and cash your bad checks.